Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Hey friends, I'm Lee Brown and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, which is, you know, obviously a homemade podcast because you can see my guest here is like Mr. Podcast, all organized and professional and stuff. And you're in my dining room with my fake plant and my star on the wall and my grandma's embroidered chair and he's got all these camera angles. And the only camera angles I can do, bonus points if you add in the comments what movie this came from, will be camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two. And only a certain demographic's going to get that. Luckily, my guest today would totally get that because he's medium age like me. So Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
100% I get both references. And it's actually my wife's favorite movie, but I'm not going to give it away. So I definitely
That's her favorite movie?
It's no one of her favorites. It's her top five.
I wouldn't say it's in the top five of anything, but kudos for having a good sense of humor.
Exactly.
I doubt it's in their top five of things they've ever done professionally, just for the record, but you know, still very good stuff. See, friends, you got all these little Easter egg teasers, and I'm not even getting paid to promote that movie that's from 25 years ago. But so welcome to the show. Obviously, we talk about stuff here that nobody talks about in real estate, and I'm going to probably be under legal review for talking to you because you have all the inside scoop on things. So tell
me. I'm on probation.
Probation?
Literally in my real estate commission, I am currently, I think I'm on year two of my 2-year probation because they changed some regulations around how teams could advertise a couple of years ago. And I had 180 occurrences on YouTube where my team name would splash on a screen before a video of the house would showcase, but the brokerage logo didn't splash at the same time. So they decided to give me 9 hours of continuing education, a $5,000 fine, and a 2-year probation. So I am serving time today, Lee, serving time one more year because I didn't put the broker name. So does this help the consumer or is this helping?
The broker's name was there, just not when they wanted it to be there.
Broker's name, it was everywhere. It was on a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Ambassador Real Estate channel. Literally on my YouTube channel was had their name everywhere. In the comments, it was everywhere. On the listing, on the MLS, everywhere. Except this little cute splash screen that my digital marketing people put together said, Omaha's Lee Real Estate Group. And it splashes up on the screen and it didn't have the Berkshire splash next to it.
So if you are a consumer and a normal person who is just a voyeur in the real estate world, what you should know is that the way real estate life works is that Realtor is a trademark of a trade association. So anybody wearing the R has joined the trade association, but the bigger circle, if we should draw some Venn diagrams, I should totally get a whiteboard. So you have realtors and they're part of real estate agents, which is licensees. And in some states they're salespeople, in some states they're brokers. And in some cases they're both. And that licensee thing is not bound by a code of ethics or by the PIN or trade association. That's covered by each state's real estate commission, which is a regulatory body set up by your legislature, which generally has very little to do with the day-to-day practice of real estate. It's everything to do with what they perceive to be consumer protection. And so what Jeff's talking about here is your elected officials and their appointees deciding what is and is not important for consumer protection. So I guess there weren't enough brands in an ad.
And let's throw it out there that just like the government of the United States, these governing bodies are typically led by people who have other intentions. So while their goal should be to protect the people, they typically are making decisions that protect themselves. And to make it even worse, when I received this probation about 1.5 years ago, it was while one of our top competitors sat on the real estate commission. He's no longer on that commission, but he was sitting there. And so I just thought that's very convenient.
Such a coincidence.
Yep. So thank you if they are listening. Thank you. I appreciate it. I am serving the second year and I always get a lot of laughs out of it. I don't even need my real estate license. I haven't sold real estate since 2014. I'm the number one agent in Nebraska, have been for the last 7 years. I've sold over 5,000 doors worth more than $1 billion in real estate sales and happily exited the day-to-day grind back in 14 to help other people be successful. Instead of making agents hamsters on wheels, I teach people to teach people how to sell real estate.
Which is kind of the opposite of how the swamp operates, because that deep state swamp is also in regulatory bodies like the Real Estate Commission. And we know good people do serve. So we're not saying that everybody who serves is nefariously trying to take down competitors, but on occasion, occasion, the competitive thing flares up.
Right.
So tell our listeners and viewers how long you've been in and around real estate, where you started. Give them any background that might help them understand how you wound up being the king of a zillion different podcasts and sales models in Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm just a normal kid. Grew up in the suburbs of Omaha, Nebraska. Born in 1981. Just celebrated my 39th birthday. 1986, my mom got her license to help add additional income to my dad's full-time job, 40-hour week job. And I was around real estate my whole life, watching her go on appointments, you know, deliver signs, do marketing and that sort of thing. She worked alongside of my uncle at the time, who was one of the top agents in Nebraska in the 90s. And in 2006, I got a degree in business after graduating college and then also serving 2 years on a missions trip in Brazil.
Oh.
So 2007 was my first full year. I served as an individual agent for 6 years, servicing buyers and sellers, averaged about 50 transactions a year. And in 2011, I launched a team, Omaha's Elite Real Estate Group, that grew to be not only the number one team in Nebraska, but the number one team in the world at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, awarded in 2019. So in 2019, I was also recruited by Gary Keller at Keller Williams, which is the largest real estate company in North America, who wanted me to launch a Keller Williams brokerage in Omaha. There already had been one other, but we added a second that we call KW Elite, with the intention of creating impact and influence, not only for agents in our own community, but in hundreds, if not thousands of communities across the country by expanding our coaching arm, Elite Real Estate Systems. Elite Real Estate Systems, for those not watching, I'm pointing to logos. So we've had a lot of fun over the last 12 months. We grew 300% amidst a pandemic. We launched in January of 2020, and here we are, not even a year later, 300% in every category: gross commission income, agent count, volume, et cetera. We're at about $250 million year end this year, 70 agent count, $6 million in gross commission income.
So to the average person watching this who's not in real estate, you probably just heard Jeff go, walk, 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 a lot of houses, walk, 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 walk. We know, because in real estate world, we talk our language in a way of figuring out who is actually completing transactions. Because in real estate, you have people who try real estate and those who do real estate, and then those who turn it into an actual entrepreneurial system. And so for a reference point, if you look at data from the National Association of Realtors, which of course is the trade association, so it's the most committed, I would say, to the profession, that's 1.422 million members. The average transactions per agent, depending on which data point you use, be between 8 and 12. And so when Jeff tells you he was doing 50 sales a year, that's already gigantic compared to the average real estate professional. Now, if you're selling less than that, it doesn't make you smaller. It just means that if you're the realtor listening to this who needs to take your game up a level, it's possible. There's ways to do it. And it generally revolves around knowing that you're a business person and not just out there rolling around looking at houses, which unfortunately is how people perceive this business. Now, you've sold a lot of houses and properties. And I love that you refer to it as doors, because that's a big thing to get into with expansive thinking with your own real estate life. I personally, with my investment strategy, am working on increasing the number of doors that I own, because that's how you really create leverage. So I'd love for you to tell our viewers and listeners, of course, they're here for the good stuff. So of all the things you've seen, and Nebraska doesn't get much play for being interesting, let's be honest, besides having a unicameral legislature, Nebraska, which I find fascinating, people just kind of overlook Nebraska, right? They call you flyover country. They act like you're just that rectangle in the middle. I'd love for you to tell us a story of something you saw that was a mic drop of, I cannot believe the shit I just saw today. So I'd love to know what comes top of mind when we ask you that.
That's a really interesting question. And I have to preface that with, in what aspect or what area of my business or my life?
Pretend we're having a cocktail, which in a normal world, we probably would be, but we're in Zoom world. And so drinking by yourself on Zoom doesn't really make it cocktail hour. Let's just be honest. People, y'all are drinking by Zoom. That's not networking. But anyway, so let's pretend we're having a cocktail. And I say, so what's the craziest thing you've ever seen in Omaha real estate? What would you tell me?
Ooh, Omaha real estate specifically.
Yeah, we got to make it Nebraska-centric. I mean, Nebraska needs more play.
And honestly, guys, as you listen to these, like, Lee and I are friends, but we didn't talk at all. So she's putting me on the spot. I don't think anything ever blew my mind. I will say that what comes to mind is, it's 2006 in November. I had a baby girl who was almost a year old. I lived in a one bedroom apartment. I was $50,000 in debt. I chose to get into real estate because I didn't want to be limited and I didn't want to report to anyone. Obviously, I soon learned I will always report to my clients that I serve and the agents that I serve and the people in my world, but I didn't want to have a boss, so to speak. And I decided, and this is a life hack that everyone can take advantage of, no matter how old you are or where you're at in your career. I decided if I wanted to be like someone, I needed to interview the people who I wanted to be like when I grew up, air quotes. And so I brought together the top 20 agents in Omaha, Nebraska, and asked them if I could have a face-to-face. Now, flash forward 15 years, I've done this in every business. I own about 15 companies today. And I've always learned that this strategy works where you just align yourself with people you want to be like, ask them questions, and then do what they said works. And you don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. So flash back to 2006, poor college kid, ready to go make some money and pay off my debt and hopefully one day have a house and build a legacy. Every person I met with, when I said, if you could give me one piece of advice, if you were my age, 23 years old with, you know, my desire and my drive and everything I've got going on, I'm trilingual, bilingual, in Spanish, Portuguese, English, what would you do differently? And I was hoping for strategies around lead generation, but everyone gave me a recommendation on how I should be investing my money. Every one of the agents I met with said, if I could go back 20, 25 years, 10 years, 5 years, I wished I had bought more real estate. I'm a kid that doesn't have any money. I need to convert deals and make commission checks. And they're telling me go invest when I had nothing. And it was really interesting because guess what? Today I say, when someone meets with me and says, hey, Jeff, if you could go back 15, 20 years, what would you do differently? Invest in real estate, buy more doors. You'll never regret it.
Okay. So I'm fascinated, first of all, by the fact that you speak Portuguese because that totally doesn't belong in Omaha at all. So that I'm a rabbit trail way too quickly, but let's go back to people that were telling you to invest in real estate. I'm fascinated by the fact that that was the common thread, because as you know, from being a coach and a leader in the business, it's rarely one of the top things that is a response when you ask people about the business. And why do you think that is?
Because most people that are in real estate have a job. They don't have a business. And business people think about investments. Business people think about net sheets, profit and loss, creating residual income so they can step away, replacing themselves so they can be involved in higher income producing activities. Workers work. They don't think outside of their 8 to 5. They celebrate Friday night because it's the weekend and they get to shut off. And so the people listening decide, what kind of person are you? I never shut off. I choose to in certain moments, but most of all, I'm always thinking, I'm always processing, I'm always growing in every area of my life. I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Except in real estate, they go out for cocktails on Friday night to celebrate that day, then they go back out and work the next day because they're in a massive hamster wheel, which I don't know that most of the public understands that when you tell your realtor, I need you on Saturday or Sunday, they did actually already work that whole week in advance. And so realtors wind up in a 7-day cycle. And tell them what you've seen about that. And, yeah.
I don't feel bad for real estate agents who've chosen to do that. They know they can protect their time. And starting in 06, when I needed the money, I chose not to work Sundays. I wanted that as a family day. It wasn't just a religious decision. There had to be one day that I gave back to myself and my family. And I've never worked a Sunday. It's always a day I kept and I protected. And people are like, well, how did you grow so fast? Well, look at Chick-fil-A. I do not drive by a Chick-fil-A without there being 30 cars in the freaking parking lot waiting in line. By the way, you can also order online at Chick-fil-A and just drive up and then drive away. You don't need to wait in the line. So that was kind of my mentality, is create that freedom. And what I would suggest to anyone that is an agent that's listening to this, take Monday and Tuesdays off. You know, take a couple of days off or force yourself to only work 40 hours. Because my game was, I don't want to have to work 3 times more than everyone else to accomplish 3 times as much. I want to accomplish 100 times as much as everyone else by working 0 hours a week.
And I love that you bring up Chick-fil-A, because that is the perfect example, because you've heard it and I've heard it. The reason most real estate agents give us for never taking a day off is, but somebody else will take my clients, they will take my buyers, take my sellers. Yeah. Just point out to y'all, people do drive up to Chick-fil-A on Sunday and they say, dadgummit, they're closed. And they come right back on Monday.
They go to KFC or they go to a competitor, and that's fine. Chick-fil-A said, good luck.
They do. But then they find out it ain't the same thing, because that is a special, that is the Lord's chicken. Let's just call that what it is. It is the Lord's chicken. All right. So you.
Can I say one more thing, Lee? Yes. I'm sorry to talk over you. The whole thing is treating your business like a business. If you are necessary, that's called a job. So anyone listening right now, if you can't walk away and less than a year from now and have what you're doing continue going and making you money, you're working a job right now. Every entrepreneurial venture that I'm involved in, I don't have to play an active role for it to be successful. Too often, residential real estate agents have signed up for this idea that the rest of their life, they're going to work Monday through Sunday. They're going to sacrifice everything. And they say, hey, that's just part of the job. That's only part of the job because the traditional broker doesn't know how to teach you to be anything other than a hamster on a wheel. Our entire philosophy is to flip the real estate industry upside down and teach agents not to sell real estate, to have an entrepreneurial business that allows them to one day step aside. And it took me 3 years. And when I started applying the strategies we now teach our agents locally and nationally, I assumed it would take me an entire lifetime. I thought I'd be in my 60s when I chose to stop selling. And in 2011, we launched the team. In 2014, I didn't sell another door.
So go back to these investment pieces of advice. What was the first investment real estate you bought?
Pretty much 95% are single family. Our avatar today is like acquiring a $70,000 house, a home for $70,000 that's valued at about $120,000, where we can put a little bit of capital in and get the value up to about $140,000 and then implement the BRRRR strategy. But my very first door that I ever acquired was actually a $250,000 two-story that's now probably worth $500,000. And I bought it with the intent to do a lease to own. So I was getting into the lease to own strategies. This is back in 2008, 2009. A lot of people were having trouble getting loans at that time. And so I was able to find nicer properties that would rent at like $3,000 a month and I'd get big deposits up front. I didn't put enough time into my investment strategy earlier on because I was trying to learn how to make money before deploying capital and investing. It wasn't until I partnered with my best friend about 4 years ago and we opened an investment company called Dynamic Properties. And we now own over about $12 million in doors, about 80, 85 doors in and around the Omaha area.
So do you buy outside of your market or you stick strictly to the Omaha area?
So right now we're Omaha Metro. We're 100% open to going outside. I wanted to find the point of diminishing returns with our marketing spend before choosing to go into other markets. What I mean by that is that we know what it costs to acquire one door. Right now, we're at about $4,000 to acquire, $1,000 to go on an appointment. So we need to go on four appointments, make four offers to get one door 25% to 30% below market value. So $4,000, and that's been the number since we started. So when I get to the point where I'm spending $20,000 to get a house under contract or $10,000, then I'll start looking for other markets that are close by. It's part of my expansion strategy where we start doing coaching in different markets. We then will help them learn how to invest and then also launch mortgage, insurance, and digital marketing.
Well, and as you grow and you start moving beyond single family into multifamily, go back a couple of episodes and listen to Rod Claife, who was on my podcast not too long before you're on here. Dude is the king of multifamily, and he'd be a really good contact for you to have, which is also part of the jig in real estate. So let's go tell a funny story, because our consumers don't want to just hear about real estate and expansion and selling shit. They want to hear you tell something you saw, a buyer, a seller, a tenant, an investor, something that you can't believe you saw. Come on, you got to tell us something good. Quit being a businessman for a second.
How inappropriate am I allowed to be?
You just can't say the F word, GD, or see you next Tuesday. That's my only rule. And you can't use names, because then somebody get their feelings hurt.
We want to get really personal.
Yes.
Okay. I have two stories. I'll do the first one really quick. First listing. One of the first listing presentations I went on, you walk the whole property and show the seller that you care about actually seeing every single room, even though you don't really need to do that, to give them an accurate value. And I said to the seller as we were walking the house, hey, is anyone else here? She said, no. I said, okay, so I'm good going into the room. She didn't come downstairs with me. She was a little bit older and didn't feel comfortable going downstairs to a finished basement with a 19-year-old daughter that lived there. So I said, are you good with me going into every room and checking everything out? Yes, yes, yes. Cool, cool, cool. So the bathroom door was shut. The light was on in the bathroom. I assumed no one would be in there. I gave it three knocks, opened the door to a fully nude 19-year-old daughter. I'm thankfully young. I wasn't creeper aged then. I was probably like 26, 27. But obviously it was a shocking moment. She made eye contact through the mirror reflection. And I turned right around, exited, super embarrassed. Luckily, I had someone with me, my listing part. I always brought someone with me to do all the admin work, a female. And so we went right upstairs. I said, hey, I accidentally walked in on your daughter and she had looked like she had just gotten out of the shower. And she said, no big deal. So the awkward part of this story was the way that the mother responded to what had just happened. Not the fact that I had actually walked in, but like, she's like, no big deal. I'm like, nobody.
I would have freaked out if I were the mom.
My 15-year-old daughter would freak, and I would have been pissed that someone walked in. I'd be like, you didn't know? So that was one of them. Most embarrassing.
Did you get a listing?
I did not, but I don't think they ever listed.
Okay.
Next embarrassing, and this is the most embarrassing, and I will now share it. I don't think I could have shared this 5 years ago just because I would have been too embarrassed. So my wife on our third child, Levi, he's now 11. She was breastfeeding Levi. We breastfed all of our three kids. Probably TMI, but I don't care.
Good job, and, mama. Good job. That's some hard work, man.
It is, right?
Nobody tell you how hard that job's going to be.
1 year. So when you have a baby, for anyone that has had children, and you are in the midst of breastfeeding and diapers and all that stuff, that is your entire world. And so I'm thinking, like, my wife, you know, if she was getting too much milk, she'd pump and she would die if she heard this. Don't listen to this one, babe. So we're at a listing presentation, and there's a woman there who had had a baby a couple months previous, and she had the baby in her arms. And she was obviously full of milk. And like, you can like tell like, ooh, that like there's pressure going on. Like you're full of milk. And I said out loud, it was one of those things where like, I was thinking it, but dear God, don't say it. I said, are you breastfeeding?
Dude.
And I'm like, I said it. I was like, no, why did I just ask? Complete stranger. These are not friends. This is like a stranger. Dana's even laughing at me right now as he's recording this. I didn't get that listing.
Shocking.
But you know, you go on thousands of appointments and you make mistakes and you say stupid things. And I didn't even say sorry. Like I just said it like it was totally natural. And I walk out and my listing partner's like, well, you ruined that one. I go, what? And she goes, you don't ask someone if they're breastfeeding. That's kind of a personal question. I'm like, how is that personal? People talk about this all the time. She's like, no. And when I asked it, I was somewhat looking at her breasts. So there's the story. Yeah, you asked and I went out there.
I have three kids. My wife breastfeeds. Let's talk about lactation. But it kind of is distracting.
I did all those like backpedal strategies. And I mean, they didn't call the police. And here I am now on probation. I wish I was on probation for something like that. Something more exciting. Not my logo, not having the brokerage logo next to it.
Yeah, you're going to have to work on that, which means the deep state of real estate commissions. Y'all should be looking for better things to get after people on, because my favorite thing is that we have a licensed person in, well, a state that shall remain nameless that has an ankle bracelet and can't leave their house because they have an ankle bracelet. And so those of us that know this person is licensed are like, well, how are they supposed to conduct real estate? But I guess Zoom is their friend, right? You can do a lot of stuff in Zoom
virtual
world.
Virtual sales, baby.
Virtual show. He just can't leave the physical house cities.
Right. Here's my thing is like, if brokers are so worried that these teams are going to take over and the brokerage is no longer going to be necessary, instead of going after teams today in the way that they are, where they're going to try to get them on probation and pay all these fines, why don't you just become a brokerage that accepts and supports real estate teams and doesn't look at them as competition and maybe help them be more successful? The answer, and there's some sarcasm here, but the answer is because they don't know how. Any traditional broker that's not helping people build teams just simply doesn't know how to help them build teams. And that's why you see companies like EXP and Keller Williams continue to do so well, is they're all very open to helping support real estate teams. For anyone listening as well, let me jump into your audience. A team versus an agent. Agent's just an individual. A team is where you grab a bunch of people and you put them together. And hopefully, if you're a good team leader, you're going to offer all sorts of support and things the broker should be doing that they're not. There are teams, though, that are just a big club and there's really no value. So just depends.
Well, and the best teams, as you know, is not just that club of people, is somebody scaling their knowledge. And so like my team, I have this woman who's ridiculously good with home sellers, and she's really great with buyers too, but her jam is sellers. And I have another lady who knows Section 8 and low income housing, and she can make magic happen. And those are different skill sets, but allows us to better serve our community. And so you'll hear a lot of negative talk about teams. It just depends on how the team is set up. And that's also the same thing with solo agents and the same thing with brokerages. It's all about finding the best person to coordinate with your skills and talents and do the best thing for our communities on the whole. And the fact that so many big brokers out there have still not adapted to teams, which have been a big deal in the business for about 23 years at this point, is also why the industry is having some big hiccups right now. And we're going to see some massive changes coming in the next year to 2 years.
Yep.
And those who are able to adapt are going to do amazing things for their clients and community. And those that can't adapt will have to probably find other venues to spend their time and hobby money. And I'm okay with that.
100%. I couldn't agree more. And you know, we're sitting here, for those that don't see and are just listening, I have an Oculus Quest 2 virtual headset as my prop today. I'm very proud of these. This is actually the number one desired gift amongst teenage boys this Christmas season. Here's my set. So if anyone wants to pay me double what I paid, I'd be happy to sell these on the black market. But we didn't buy these for video games. Don't think I've ever played a single video game on this headset. We bought these to help our clients tour homes in 6 degrees of freedom. And the delineation between 3 degrees and 6 degrees, giving your audience a little nugget here, is the ability to not only look up, down, left, right, and navigate throughout the house with a remote, but physically walk a virtual space. So I can put these goggles on and walk a home that's never been built before. Not only that, I can create a 6D render that allows the consumer to toggle all of the finishes, fixtures, and equipment that they chose to put in their new construction build. So let's say that they want to see the difference between black, gray, red. They literally push a button and can toggle black, gray, red walls, cabinets, finished tops, fixtures like a Sub-Zero versus a Wolf versus a whatever. It's pretty cool technology for homes that have not been built yet.
It's creepy and cool and creepy all at the same time.
It's amazing. It's the future. No, people don't want to have to do things in a physical space. They want the virtual option, especially now with everything going on. And so we started adopting this technology about a year ago, and it's blown up. So I invested in a tech company called Verly. Get VRLY, getverly.com. Verly stands for virtual reality.
Say that again, VRLY?
Yeah, VRLY, getverly.com. Okay. And we partner with real estate agents, brokerages, teams just like yours to help people create this 6D experience. Most architectural firms today, to give you a single family house completely in 6D, meaning they build almost like a video game of your home that you're about to build. You have a CAD blueprint, which is a 2D render of all the floors. And most people look at that and go, no idea what I'm looking at. And so we can take that and build a virtual house that you then can tour with your Oculus Quest 2 and or just on a computer screen or your cell phone. You can drive through the entire property, but you can see all the examples of this, real examples at getverly.com if you want to check out more information about it.
So that's actually some crazy shit in real estate is what the technology is going to take us to in the future. Because if there's anything we've learned in the COVID era, it's that the horizon is moving and there's different spaces that we're going to have to be comfortable in, whether we want to or not.
It's already here. This summer, I sold a $2.2 million listing. Yes, million-dollar houses exist in Omaha. And I sold a $2.2 million listing based on a virtual tour. So the family had looked at it in person and then went to Arizona to spend a couple of weeks during that COVID shutdown in March to April. And all the family in Arizona got to see the house in Matterport. For existing space, we use Matterport technology.
Yeah, Matterport. But this is cooler than Matterport, actually. But
This is way cooler because Matterport's for existing homes. This is for non-existing homes when you're developing a property. So we partner with builders. A lot of builders buy exclusive rights in their cities to have access to this first in, because our 6D render is less than $3,000. Whereas if you go to an architectural firm, you're going to spend $40,000.
So
I like telling people as a video game, like, think if you could fly through your future house like a video game and incorporate all your designers, finishes, fixtures, and equipment. No matter what your designer has selected, we can place it in the video game and give you the reins. Right now, there's architectural firms and designers that work for real estate agents that you could go into their studio and get on their chief software and drive it in their office, and they'll take a couple screenshots. The consumer wants full control. If you have a business that's going to scale in the next 10 years, you need to give the consumer control, and they should be able to do it from the comfort of their home. They should not have to physically go. Going back to Chick-fil-A, I can go onto an app in 10 seconds, push a button, and the driver of Chick-fil-A will show up at my house within 20 minutes. I don't have to go to Chick-fil-A. I don't have to get in a line if I don't want to. And that's how everything is. That's what the demand's going to be now, not even in the future, from the consumer in every space, not just real estate.
Well, not every space, because for that 20 minutes while you're waiting for your Chick-fil-A, you're still going to have to take yourself for a walk because there's still no technology that's going to work out for you.
Not yet.
And we have to walk and run. So we'll just add that in, people, as you're putting your 2021 plans together.
Be active. You could have seen my post today on social, my Instagram, Jeff M. Cohn, if you want to follow me. At Jeff M. Cohn, JeffMCohn. I just hit 1,001,000 meters on my rower this morning.
Oh, very
1,000,000 meters. So for anyone that rows, you know that's a big number. It's like if you do a 10,000 meter workout, that's 110,000 meter workouts. Most people hit like 2,000 or 3,000 meters on a rower. So
are you trying to like create a new phenomenon since Peloton is the most annoying thing to come out since CrossFit?
So that's hilarious. No, not at all. No, I Peloton, I mean, oof.
I think you have to be a CrossFitter and vegan to be a Peloton, because they're all kind of the same thing.
I just got a Rogue bike, one of the bikes with like the arms and stuff. I just don't need to work out and like with other people virtually. Like if I'm going to work out with people. I kind of want them in person, and I'm not like a big COVID-19.
Episode of Black Mirror. Did you watch that terrible show on Netflix?
Oh, geez, no.
Don't. Not into it's that really kind of messy, stuff. But like there's this one episode called The Black Mirror, and I mean, it's creepy. It's creeptastic.
After 1999, 1998, What Lies Beneath ruined me for anything with mirrors. If the word mirror is in it, I'm out. Tapping out. Goodbye.
That's right.
For anyone that's like, well, What Lies Beneath, you probably know the reference where she looks in the mirror and there's like a double and it's horrible.
It's not good.
No, not good.
Cool. Right, so people, you've already got his Instagram handle. We've got Get Verly. I'll sit here writing that down because I got to find out who's doing that in the Charlotte market. And hopefully I can squeeze into that space a little bit. And of course, we're going to have all of Jeff's contact information in the show notes for this episode. So as you were listening and you were wondering why we were so randomly rabbit trailing, welcome to real estate. I mean, honestly, that's part of the crazy shit in real estate. There is nothing linear about it. But all of his contact information will be there if you're interested in Omaha real estate. He and his team can help if you're interested in their expansion programs in other markets. I'm sure he'll talk to you about that too.
For your listeners here, I'm going to give you some cool stuff. Our listing presentation for free, my business plan that helped us scale to be the fastest growing real estate team in history. We went from 70 to 700 sides in 6 years. That's a national fastest growing real estate team in history. GrowWithERS.com. GrowWithERS.com. You'll get all sorts of free stuff. You can actually subscribe to our podcast as well. The Team Building Podcast, which if you're watching, I'm floating a huge logo behind me and my body's taking up about half of it. Thank you, Dana, for that angle. So we'd love for you guys to check out ours as well. Lee and I have so much in common. She's so amazing. And I've loved her ever since I met her the first time. She does everything the right way. She's professional, honest, someone you should follow. She's awesome. So thank you for what you're doing in the community and to help people become better versions of themselves.
Hey man, I just got to learn from you so I can scale better. So that's what we do, right? We make each other better, which is one of the craziest things about real estate. You thought it was competitive and nasty. It's actually a space where the best people look at the abundance mindset for growth. So Jeff, thank you for coming on the show. And guys, by the way, in the show notes will be the link to the episode I did with his podcast. You should subscribe to all of them because they'll make you better. And you want to subscribe to this one, give me 5 stars because anything less will make me wilt like a flower no one waters in the corner, which is why I have a fake plant. So 5 stars, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lee.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.